Amen. You can have your seats at this time. Greetings, everyone. Greetings. I'm Brother Randall Hall, and it's just an honor and a privilege to be here at the Stony Island Street Church of Christ this morning to deliver unto you what thus says the Lord. I thank God for this location and for the men and women that he has set in place here in order, as he has built his house, to provide the necessary spiritual manna that we need in order to direct us and to guide us through this world here below. So I give that thankful to Brother Burnside and Brother Jackson for what God has done with them and the women of this congregation for standing strong on this firm foundation of Christ. Thank you. Good to see you this morning. At this time, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our God, our Father, which are in heaven, we rejoice that you've smiled upon us and raised us from our beds of slumber and given us a new day, this first day of the week, that in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we may assemble here in spirit and in truth. We rejoice with the word of God working mightily in our lives, molding and making us into vessels full of thy glory. Thank you, Father, for the innumerable blessings which we cannot possibly mention with lips. But as you keep us, Father, before your throne, bowed and prostrate, Father, with thanksgiving, we rejoice. Thank you, Father, far beyond what my feeble words can utter, but in obedience unto your word, we give thanks in Jesus' name. Let us say amen. Amen. Our lesson this morning is found in the book of Matthew. And this Matthew is read into our hearing, the 26th chapter. Thanks for reading that, Brother Jackson. The verses were 26 through 30. And if you have your Bibles, I urge that you turn there with me this morning. We're going to read over that just for clarification and to be sure that we're all on the same page. I pray we've brought our books with us this morning, the Bible. As the ministers once says, the greatest book in the world. Number one seller every year. It is the mind of God. It points the way to salvation. It speaks of the doom of those who are sinners as well as the happiness of those who are believers. The doctrine of this book is holy. Its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are unchangeable. And it's what we need as the children of God in order to find our way through this world in this day and age. As the scripture reads, according to the text of Matthew, the 26th chapter, starting at the 26th verse, you read along with me, it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And then they had sung, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." I'd like to lift for you this morning in this reading of this matter a topic, Christ Mass. As I thank God for the Sunday school classes we have because, you know, an elder's job is to direct the spiritual of the congregation and the way it should go. And Brother Jackson is doing such a fine job in the lessons. I urge each and every one of us to be here so that we can be knowledgeable about the things we experience in this life below and the different customs of men as well as a Christian's place in the world but not of the world. It's very important. And we learn that in our Bible classes and are able to ask questions and our questions answered. And thank God for a congregation that has elders, spiritual advisors, that when you need to know, you can go to them and inquire, that they may open up God's word and rightly divide it into your hearing. We are so blessed to have them. And so, Christ's Mass in this day. This world is celebrating the many splendid things in this day and age. Christ said in the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter, 24th verse, he says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go not forth. 'Behold, he is in the secret chamber,' believe it not. For as the lightning cometh, it says, out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." I believe that the children of God are the elect, those of the body of Christ who have heard the gospel, believed the gospel, repented of their sins, confessed Christ as their Lord and Savior, and have gone down in the watery grave of baptism in order to rise up and walk in the newness of life are the elect of God. Those who will not accept substitutes of men. For the book of Ecclesiastes, even in the Old Testament, 12 and 9 read, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge, yea, and gave good heed, and sought out and set in order many proverbs. And we need to understand some things according to the word of God. We need to understand what God's will is for mankind. It says in verse 10, the preacher sought out to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was right. Even words of truth. And that, don't we need truth in this day and age? We need to hear more truth, not lies or fables, but truth. The words of the wise, it says, are as gourds and as nails fastened by the master of assembly, which are given, it says, from one shepherd. 2 Timothy 3, a young minister in which Paul exhorted and encouraged, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There's no excuse in this day and age, church. You know, I'm looking at Christ's mass when I'm looking at you, because you're members in particular of the body of Christ. And you know, if we really wanted to celebrate Christ's mass, this would be full, the balconies all the way up, if people understood. If they really understood, they can partake of something greater, something more fantastic, the greatest thing that's ever happened on the face of the earth. And we hope to get in that further on in the lesson. I don't want to give too much away. But if they really knew Christ's mass, Christ means Messiah, Savior. You're reading 1 Matthew, first chapter. It tells you the angel came and said, you're going to bear a child. He's going to be a Savior. This is the Messiah. He's going to be born of a virgin. We believe that, and we're sure of that. Because that's a foundational principle right there. That's something you have to believe to become a child of God. That Christ was born of a virgin. So we have no problem with that. But because I see there's nobody here, that we're half full or a quarter full right here, somebody got a problem with that. Somebody is ignorant of the will of God. I thank God again for those who will hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Psalmist says in 19, the law of the Lord is perfect for converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing in heart. He says, commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is the what? Is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. What a beautiful, beautiful saying. To our lesson. According to Matthew, the 28th chapter, I'm thinking of this time, Christ arose from the dead upon the first day of the week. And in doing so, this is the victory over the death of the cross. This was proven the Messiah that shed his blood for the sins of mankind. He tells us in Matthew, the 28th chapter, the 19th verse, actually the 18th verse, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Do we know what power is? When you say, a person that says them to say, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, that's a bold statement. That's a powerful statement in itself. How many men can say that? I haven't heard any say that but the Christ. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even unto the ends of the earth. There's some things we need to know, church. And if the world would know it and obey it, we'd be full right now. Our children would be with us. Our grandchildren would be with us. Even maybe our parents would be with us. And they'd all be sitting here in the house of the Lord, rejoicing of the greatest gift that's ever been given on the face of the earth. This is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, to die for the sins of mankind. You know, it tells me on the day of Pentecost, according to Acts, we've read that 1 and 2, that Acts 2, actually, in the first verse, that the Spirit was poured out and set upon the apostles as the clothing tongues. And Peter stood up and preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in doing so, it was about 3,000 souls added to it, says, and daily such as should be saved. But what they did also was continue in the apostles' doctrine and in breaking of bread. And went house to house. And did eat their meat with gladness. And people sold their possessions as they had and gave as everyone had need. It was not a selfish thing. It was not selfish at all. And I want us to get the lesson for the church. I'm not talking about the world because the world is the world. We're speaking to the church. And this lesson is a wonderful thing because God teaches us what real love is, what real the spirit of giving is really all about. And it says, as they did this, according to Acts 20 and 7, it says, it was upon the first day of the week that the disciples came together to break bread. And they were so joyous of this spirit that had been poured out and this salvation they had received through the blood of Christ until they beckoned unto Paul, preach unto us till midnight. Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, God forbid. I pray one day that we will unselfish ourselves and get back to that. I really do. I have spiritual muscles built up for all day service in the Lord's house. I thank God for that. I know not all of us are in the same place in our spiritual growth, and we pray for each and every one that you will get there. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we just craved to keep the doors open all day? The brothers would minister the word of God and we would rejoice because we're being spiritually fed the manner of God. How beautiful would that be? Oh, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. If you will, turn your books over to 1 Corinthians because I don't want to be too long, but there's a lot to say this morning because the world is ready for tomorrow, but they haven't prepared today. That to me is ironic. That's a very ironic statement. We're prepared for tomorrow to the point in which I pray we laid by in store. Leave that alone. that we're supporting the wonderful works of the church and didn't exhaust ourselves on the man-made. 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, starting at the 23rd verse. This wonderful thing we have in Christ. It says, I have received of the Lord what? That which also I deliver unto you. Let me get over there. 23rd verse. For I have received of the Lord that which also, he says, unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, and when he had given thanks and break bread, he said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup after he had supped it, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. It says, this do in remembrance of me. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But it says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. There were some Jews, maybe they were about 60 years probably after, if you really study it out, over there in Hebrews. Because remember, God always spoke to man and told him what to do. God has never left his children ignorant. Never. What father would, if the son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Adam told him what to do in the garden. He sinned. Noah told him to build the ark. After he got out, he got drunk. Abraham, he told him, Abraham in Genesis 12, I'm going to give you make of you a great nation, give you a land, through your seed, bless all nations. Hebrews 1 says, in sundry times and in diverse manners God spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. But in these last days has spoken through us through his Son, through which he appointed heir of all things. He speaks to the church, Hebrews 10:25. Not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is. I'm speaking to us as the church because this is the Christ Mass. This is Christ's Mass for you. That he says when you come to God's house, and when you sing, when you pray, when you commune, and when you give, he is a spectator. We are all active participants, and God is the only spectator. Looking down upon his children, smiling upon them as a father would an obedient child. How wonderful. We have that. We have the Christ Mass, y'all. Not them. We got it. There's so much to say because as we have it, we have to know how to be conduct ourselves according to it. But still yet, just a little more over here in Hebrews. Let's get some more into the blood of Christ. Let's turn over to Hebrews, the 9th chapter, and let's look what God did for us starting at the 11th verse. Hebrews 9, and I'm going to start at 7. And we're going to redo a little reading in here to understand. But we're sanctified, set apart for spiritual use. You are very special people. God has called you into a spiritual relationship with him that has preeminence and deity over anything man has to offer you. And we should hold it in high regard and in high esteem and never set anything above it. For it is a higher standard in which God has called us to. In verse 7 of Hebrews 9, it says, but into the second went, it says, this is talking about the old priesthood in comparison to the new priesthood. But into the second went the priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the error of the people. Now, in the Old Testament, once a year, a man would go in, which is the priest. They had to kill a lamb, blood, and he had to offer it for himself and the people. By blood, things are cleansed. The Holy Ghost, this verse 8 says, the Holy Ghost is signifying that the way into the holiest of all, it says, of all, was not yet made manifest, while as first, the first tabernacle was yet standing. That's the Old Testament was still in force when Christ said back in Matthew 26:26, take of my bread, eat of, take of my drink of my blood, eat of my body. And I won't do it until the new kingdom's establishment. I'll eat it for you. I'll eat it with you on that side. But he's talking about Old Testament right now. Let's skip down to verse 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered at once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Having gained eternal redemption for us. We're the Christ Mass. Verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and of ashes of heifers and sprinkling of unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve a living God? You can get forgiveness of your sins now. You can go to the Heavenly Father through our Lord and Savior, who sits on the right-hand side of God and has empathy. Because in light, he came down in like manner of flesh for us and suffered for us and endured the cross for us. He has empathy because he was here in the flesh and he understands what you're going through. So there's nothing too big or too small that God cannot carry that load for you. Cannot go to the Father on your behalf. Verse 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the books and all the people. Verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is nothing. It says remission, remiss. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in heaven should be purified with this. But the heavenly things itself, it says themselves, with better sacrifice than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but unto heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. How blessed are we when we come into our Christ Mass. And you know what? We don't do it yearly. We do it weekly. We do it on a weekly basis. How blessed are we? We get a chance to come into the holy sanctimony of God and look in the blessings of God and offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. We know what 2 Peter tells us. 2 Peter says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience brotherly love. That's what we need more of. Because we had more of that, I think more people would be here instead of exhausting themselves out there. Oh, I can't come to church today because it would look pretty bad if I didn't have anything to put in the tray. It's a fact. Oh, I've just exhausted myself and I'm so tired till I just wouldn't be able to sing. So many excuses we made. I've been there. I'm saying that because I've been there. I've been weak like that. But this is the Christ Mass in which God wants you to come to restore your soul. First, Hebrews 10, let me get through this lesson. Hebrews 10, verse 4 says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Whereof, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifices of offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. This is the story of Christ's death, burial, and his resurrection, what he's done for us. Now, Christians, now that we know who we are the body of Christ, right? We are the Christ Mass is our first day of the week, and that's when we come to offer up spiritual sacrifice to God. God looks upon his children. Now, you know what? You people are so great. We are so great as the children of God till the world looks upon us very highly. Because you know what? We don't give eye service when we're out there. We work with our whole heart. What we do, we work with our hands at things that are good. People see these things. God says, love thy neighbor as thyself. We are the ones who are exercised in that. We are the ones that gain favor in the world because we are in keeping with God's law. So how do you act when somebody respects you so much that they invite you to dinner and sit you down at a Christ Mass, a Christmas. It's got a little different connotation to it there, but Christmas dinner. Or something offered to an idol. 1 Corinthians, turn your Bibles if you will, 1 Corinthians the 8th chapter. It speaks to us. God tells us how to conduct ourselves. We're not so big and puffed up so we cannot sit down and eat a meal with mankind. God wants to use us in every situation. God ate with some tax collectors and some people. How are you going to save people if you do not eat with people or do not bless people or go into people's houses? And the scripture says in James, visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's one of the biggest lessons men have to, I'll say men more so, have to learn. Because a lot of men get in trouble when they go into widows' houses visiting the kids. But once you learn that lesson and keep yourself unspotted from the world, hallelujah, praise God. You're in fellowship with him and God blesses you. 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, I said. How do we conduct ourselves? Because people, I know all the time, you good people who are the best at what you do because you're Christians. Because you attend the house of the Lord and you understand that you belong to God. And you understand that all these idols mean nothing at all. Why? Because Hebrews 1 says, God created all things for him and by him. And without him, nothing was created that was created. So how do you look upon it? Through the spiritual eye. 1 Corinthians 8 says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we have knowledge. James says, if a man lacks wisdom, let him ask from the Father, which giveth liberally to all men, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. Knowledge puffed up, but charity edifieth. Knowledge can get you. I know when I was an adolescent in the Lord, when I thought I knew something in Christ, oh, I'm coming at you. I'm coming hard. And I'm going to tell you, you're wrong about that thing. Knowledge puffs up. God doesn't want you to be puffed up. He wants you to be humble. He wants you to be exercised in charity. You should get the love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. We'll go, that's another time. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered to sacrifice unto idols, we know that, he says, here it is, we know that any idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. Thank God for the church. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says what? Other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Ephesians tells us one Lord. Ephesians 4 and 4. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2 said the church is built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. We know these things. We know that we are Christians. Verse 5, for though there be, he said, for though there be are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many, the Lord, it says, and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom all are all things. Excuse me, I'm skipping because I'm missing my reading. And we in him. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and by him. You have the reading, and we by him. And so we understand that although we are the Lord's and we have the knowledge and understand that these things are sacrificed to idols, if somebody says, have a good ham, they got a good ham dinner, or cook the good turkey, don't be offensive. The scriptures speak, don't be offensive. A lot of times when we're adolescents in the Lord, we can be offensive. I don't believe in that, so I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sit down and eat. Enjoy your meal. Say the prayer because you sanctify everybody around you. You sanctify your household. Scripture tells you that if you're married to somebody who's not of the God, that if you're in the household and you belong to the Lord, you sanctify it by your presence because you belong to God and you brought God into that house. So how blessed are we on our Christ Mass? Amen. So when it comes to God's house, I don't know, how am I doing, brother? When it comes to God's house, I haven't got a lot to say this morning because this is truly the Christ Mass. And if the world knew it, the walls of this building couldn't hold the people. I think they really, really couldn't hold them. I think there's a lot of preaching still to do in our households, in us becoming vigilant and not slipping back into the carnality of the world by submitting ourselves and being ignorant of God's will. I think when we really understand what we do is we're going into the world to preach this gospel, and we're going to do it by living it first. That's what God recognizes, that you live it. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. That's the thing a lot of us really lack. I found I'm kind of short on temperance. You know, govern this tongue. What does James say, the third chapter? And he says, that little member that boasts of great things, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. It says, if you're not acting in the Spirit of God, glory not and lie not against the truth. Can sweet water and bitter come from the same fountain? So can no man both yield salt water and fresh. We need to be of one heart and one mind in the Lord, and obedient first to our head, which is Christ. And in doing so, you find yourself converting a whole lot of other people, bring them into the Christ Mass we have every first day of the week in the Lord. For we are the body of Christ. Colossians 1, 18 and 19, we said before, Christ is head of the body, the church, the first begotten from the dead. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And so we are of Christ. And we get to take of his body and his blood. We get to take of that. Scripture says, if you eat and drink of unworthily, you eat and drink of damnation to yourself. We need to take a circumspect look, be sure that we are in the faith. And that in doing so, then we become that true. There's so many aspects of this because all the word links up. We become that true salt of the earth. And when we go out there, people see the manner of person you are, and you're able to affect their lives. Why? Because you add the flavor to their lives. You add the what they need in order to become children of God. I think I've said enough. I pray that and through this lesson that you understand this is Christ's mass. I want to get that perfectly clear. When it comes to Nimrod and all of them, study that on your own time in history. Nimrod, Baal, because it just reoccurs over and over. They're false gods. It's taught in your wonderful lesson this morning. Thank you, brother. About all those false gods. They're nothing. It's man's vanity. Man of their own vanity is puffed up, became puffed up and start making idols and things in the nature. It's all through the scriptures. But God is warning us now in these last days to repent. And he has a place to sanctify you and set you apart. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, you need to have your sins washed away. You need to stop living in error. There's some people at the job. I'll tell you the truth. They come to the door. I work at a very prosperous place. People are all successful there. They always try to give you a bottle of whiskey or a bottle of vodka or, you know, something to party with. Even had one man drop a little weed on me. I didn't know what it was. I said, hallelujah, happy holiday. I said, whoa. Woo. Yeah, that's what the world will do, though. They're ignorant. Some of them honestly, some of them willfully. But we are the salt. And it's time for us, when we get it straight, then we can get the world straight. And thank God for the greatest sacrifice that's ever been given. God so loved the world till he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Say amen. Amen. We are the church of Christ, the one you can read in the scriptures. This is our Christ Mass. I hope we're enjoying it. I hope we prepared ourselves to come here to sing, pray, commune, give, and be taught the wonderful works of God. And I know if you've done that, that you will leave here blessed. Whew, wow. I can get emotional to drop the hat. But you know what makes me, you know what really makes me tear up more so when I look at the Church of Christ? Whew, how far we've come. Wow. How far God has brought our families. It's miraculous. When we serve God, God just keeps blessing and blessing innumerably. Hey, Kenny. Brother Deacon, are you elder yet, Kenny? Brother Kenny, who started a long, long time ago. Long time ago. His one look at that family he got back there. That's because of God. And they're one. Just like when you see Brother Jackson and his family, they're one. When you see these wonderful families here, don't stop loving the Lord because he brings your family together. Ain't no derision here. No scorning going on in our families. You didn't buy me this. I'm going to buy you that. You didn't put it up the tree right. Brother, there ain't no scorning here. We love the Lord. Keep letting the Lord bless us and our generations to come, generations to go. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you. Forevermore. And if I die, I'm going to die in the Lord. We're going to extend the invitation at this time. I've said enough. It's just good to see y'all here this Christ Mass today. And I know God will bless you as you leave this hall right here to go back out and to sit down and have dinners with people. And hopefully, if you're strong enough and your light is shining enough, you're that light that's set on the hill that cannot be hid. They will draw to you. And they will come to you and start asking you spiritual questions. And when you start rightly dividing the word, they start coming into your household, you're going to end up converting a soul to Christ and saving a person from a multitude of sin. Hallelujah. Praise it. And if God uses you to that magnitude, you're heaven bound. You got a mansion, a robe, and a crown waiting for you. I said enough. Let's sing the song of invitation. If you need to be saved, if you're outside of Christ, and you know it's no, once you understand, you need to obey. One of the most disheartening things is to see young people who have not yet been saved. Prayer, God is long-suffering, but come whosoever will at this time, as the song of invitation is sung. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
225.